So I'm going to ask you a question. Would you agree that there are and there should be distinguishing attributes? So listen to this. Distinguishing attributes that set us apart from those that don't know Jesus or follow Jesus. Would you agree that there should be, ought to be, and that there are distinguishing attributes of Christians that aren't Christians? Hello? Right, we would agree with that. Now let me ask you then a question. What should those attributes be? What would you say if you could pick one? And I've got three, but if you could just pick one attribute of a believer that would set you apart, that ought to be a difference, that ought to distinguish you, set you apart from non-believers, what would be one?
Compassion,
joy. He said light, forgiveness, thankfulness. Okay. Love. I knew somebody would say love for sure. That's a gimme. What's that?
Loyalty.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. A lot of different ones, huh? Yeah. Okay. You got deep really quick, huh? He just said not being who I used to be, so people would actually like speak to me instead of run from me. That's what I heard. Anyway. The old man dead. New man alive, in George's words. Yeah. There's a couple in here that, in fact, it's interesting that nobody said, I think, the one that I was looking for, well, one of the three that I was looking for, or at least that actually Scripture describes as what ought to be a distinguishing attribute, as you who were once in darkness and now are walking in light. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8 and 9 says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Now we said light, yeah, but this is what it looks like. This is what it ought to look like. For this light within you produces. So this ought to produce something, a fruit. There ought to be evidence of this light. And what is it? Good, right, and true. Okay. Let's look at those. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Nobody said righteousness, huh? Interesting. Nobody just said that ought to be a distinguishing attribute of a believer, righteousness. Did you even think that? Did you? But yet it's the one thing that ought to set us apart more than anything is that we live a righteous life. Now, why is it that we get so stumbled up on that? This isn't even a part of my notes. So it's going to get fun. I think so. I'm going to have fun this morning. I hope you have fun with me. Why is righteousness stumble us, trip us up? Okay. I'm trying to think of how that works, but yeah. That was a good answer, though. Actually, it's probably the most correct answer you could possibly come up with. Okay. So that's probably a little more correct in what our thinking is, or more, you're being more honest. Why does righteousness trip me up to say that ought to distinguish me from others? A righteous life, yes.
Because we think we'd be mistaken for something that we're not.
And that's probably also more honest. Is that David said, because we think that we would be mistaken for something that we're not, which is what? Self-righteous. Holier than thou, as though we're better than others. Because the truth is, when we get really honest with ourselves, we are, as Alfonso said, humble, in a place to where I know who I am, and I know I'm not righteous, and I know that I am not good. I know that I've got issues. I know the sin in my heart. I know the stuff, the filth, the dirt, the ick. So when I, to say that I would say that that would ought to be a distinguishing attribute to set me apart from others, to say I'm righteous. It's like, well, wait. That's why I feel like today this is a morning that we need to speak on this thing that God has called us to be, light in the dark. And he says that this is what light looks like, is goodness. Of course, the goodness of God, righteousness. Of course, the righteousness of God and truth. And so when we look at what that looks like, I think this is going to get into a deep place to cause us to say, there's something that I need to really zero in. And I need to say, okay, as God has called me light in the dark, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And I'm going to get into that, where he says that in Matthew chapter 5, because it's really, really good. I really do believe this is like one of my favorite subjects of the Bible, is what Jesus says that we are, who Jesus says that we are. Because when I think of when Jesus says who we are and what we are, I can't help but like take my soul to a place of saying, this is the one who spoke everything into existence. This is the one who said light and light came from nothing. This is the one who said water and water came from nothing. This is the one who took this dirt that he also breathed, that he created and formed a man and breathed life into it, and it came from nothing. And if the one who speaks words into and what he speaks comes into existence, and when he declares me, you, as the light of the world, that ought to sink in and stop and do something inside of me and say, whoa. As the song that you were singing, Noel, let my heart learn when you speak a word that it will come to pass. That's my favorite verse of the whole song. All the other stuff is really good, but that's like, I think that me as a pastor, I think that's the thing I strive for most inside of myself, and I love to just present and pray and share that we as God's people, that our hearts would learn that what God says is true, and it's for you, and it's for me, and it's there, and it's inside of us. He's inside of us. He is the light of the world who defeated darkness. I mean, he went to the cross and crushed the enemy, crushed death, and snuffed out darkness. Darkness could not snuff out light. It never has been able to. It never can, and it never will. Light always wins. Always wins. Always wins. I got notes. I'm going to try to stick to them now for a minute. And then let the Holy Spirit have the rest. How about that? In John chapter 1, starting verse 4 and 5, it says, the Word gave life to everything that was created. That's Jesus. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now that is true. That is true. It's not just a truth that we might say, oh, that's kind of cute. It's true. The darkness can never extinguish it. But there's something in there that I'd like to note. His life brought light to everyone. Does that trip you up a little bit? To everyone. I mean, everyone is everyone. Not just most, not just some, not just a few. But his life brought light to everyone. Isn't that an interesting concept, isn't it? I think it's something that I've always believed, is that God doesn't change. He doesn't, and if God is never changing, and God is love, and yeah, I know I could, this kind of sounds like I could get into this like emerging church kind of philosophy, but I believe that there's a truth in this that we need to understand and hear, is that God brings light to everyone. What do we do with that light is up to us. What do we do with that light is up to us. And I'll share with that in Matthew 5. But this is, I love that because it's like that's telling me that even in darkness, light is there. Light is going to be there. Light is everywhere. So much so that, you know, I think it kind of brings us to this place, and it ought to a little bit, let me present it like this. Have you ever been at a place in your life, a situation, maybe a circumstance, where it just seems like it's hopeless? Well, maybe not even you, but maybe somebody you know, if we want to do that. I have a friend who's in a hopeless situation that just, they just don't know, there's no solution that is good that they could get out of this. That seems desperate, that seems like it's full of despair, and it almost can seem like darkness wins. But this is something, this is the assuring promise and the truth of what God is saying here is that light is brought everywhere, and light is presented everywhere. I pray it all the time for those in situations that I can do nothing about physically or geographically or monetarily. Basically, there's no way I can help a situation because I'm not a doctor and I'm not a millionaire and I'm not, so I can't like fix every situation. I want to. I wish I could, but I could pray and I could ask God to do something magnificent. And I say it all the time, and I pray it all the time. God, do something miraculous in this situation. Show up, because it's only you that can do something here. It's only you that has the possibility, the capability to change, to alter, to do something, to make a difference in this person's life, to actually reach in, and grab the situation, grab the person. And whether you need to snatch them out of an environment or whether you need to do some healing or just pour into them some finances that only you can bring, God, you do it. So I believe that God actually looks for the opportunities that are impossible to make possible, because there's nothing that's impossible with God. I read that in the Bible quite often. No thing is impossible with Him. I think that's true. I still believe it to be true. Amen? So yes, does God give us more than we can handle? Yes. Quite often. Because it brings us to the place of needing Him. And our situations can seem desperate. But God has brought light into every situation. Let's be that. In the situation. Something I read, and I think this is pretty fantastic of what we're about in darkness, says the real audience to your light isn't inside this room, it's outside, waiting to see if we truly represent Jesus through our acts of service, our acts of love, our acts of unity. Because Jesus said that they, as in those that don't know, will know that you are my disciples, and they will know that God's love is real by your love for one another. Amen? Proverbs 13:9 says this, it says, the life of the godly is full of light and joy, but the light of the wicked... Did I read that correctly? The life of the godly is full of light and joy, but the light of the wicked will be snuffed out. There's three object matters that respond to light. Let me talk about this. This is kind of interesting. Have you ever heard, and Blake and I, when we hear this, we kind of cringe, because we understand the theological deficiency of this concept is that we are a reflection of God's love. You ever heard that phrase? It's not biblical. It sounds good. In fact, there's even beautiful, great songs that read it, that speak about it. In fact, I heard one time a preacher say it, and I remember looking over at Blake as we were at Biola, and he was doing this message, and he's like, we're like a bunch of moons That God, you know, God is the sun and he's shining on the moon and we're reflections and the light that we shine is just a reflection of the moon or like a moon. And I remember looking over at Blake and he looked at me, he's like, oh gosh. And it was one of their, I don't know, it was like their worship leader or something of something. Do you remember that? Yeah. He's still there. He's awesome. The reason I'm sharing this is because I think and you'll see what I'm talking about and getting you to understand it. Three object matters, if you will, that respond to the light of God in their life. See, the light pours in, and it's in Jesus. So I got one is transparent. First one is transparent. So I just simply looked up the definitions of these object matters, and it's simple. Transparent means this. It's having the property of transmitting rays of light through its substance so that bodies situated behind or beyond can be distinctly seen. Do you see what that's saying? So the most optimum Christian or Christian attribute is one that's transparent. Ones that you see through me and see Jesus on the other side of everything I do. Does that make sense? So, you know, and it's like this. I got them. Let's see if I can do it. It's like this. Cellophane, right? Saran wrap. I can see you all really pretty clearly. This is transparent. We can see very clearly through it. And that's what God's light, the most, I'm just going to throw that away before I hurt myself. There's this other object matter that responds to light, and it's translucent. Translucent is permitting light to pass through, but diffusing it so that the persons or objects, etc., on the opposite side are not clearly visible. So this isn't the most optimum response to light, but it is a response. Is, well, you could see through it, and I could see that there's light coming through, but I can't see any of you clearly as you can't see any of me clearly. But you can see that there's a light coming through it, right? In other words, it will kind of, sort of allow something on the other side to be seen, but not very clearly. And I think this is what happens. It diffuses it 100%. And that's what the definition of translucent means. It's a diffusing of the light. And when we look at that as a believer, what that would look like is somebody that is, how do I say it, George? Got a lot of me in me still. Watered down, or I got a lot of my stuff, my will, what I'm doing still. I haven't surrendered. I still am keeping a lot of me here. Because the more of me I keep with me, the less that you see Jesus through me. That's what translucent Christianity looks like. There's a lot of that out there. Sometimes, or lukewarm, yeah. Because what it does is it causes this place where it's like, well, I'm kind of keeping one foot in the world, one, you know, doing a dance, you know, and one foot in heaven. And there's so much of Christianity in our world today that looks like that it's almost the norm. It's almost the norm to where we look at it and say, well, hey, and here's a phrase you might hear. Well, at least they're doing something. At least they're going in some good direction. At least they're going to church, you know, once, you know, a month or so. But that's a good thing, right? That at least they're trying to do some good things. But you see, you're holding on to a lot of you and putting a little bit of God in your life. And that's what a translucent Christian looks like. And this is the most interesting one. I think it's the most confusing and yet the most, This is called the opaque Christian. Did I say it right, Kinsey? Yeah. Opaque is this. It's absorbent, not transparent or translucent, impenetrable to light, not allowing light to pass through. That's what the actual definition of opaque in the dictionary reads. Not allowing light to pass through. But it's extremely absorbent. This is the Christian. This is the Christian that says, God loves me. Me. And it's all about how much God loves me. And when God loves me, then I'm just absorbing all of God. I'm soaking it in, right? Soaking in all of God. Or let my life be a reflection of God. Let me tell you how off that is. Jesus said it in a way that I think is very revealing. Matthew 6, 22 and 23 says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that you think that you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? Have you ever run across, and I hope you have, a passage, a scripture, a verse that just trips you up? Like, it's just like, I don't know what that means there. Have you ever run across those verses? I hope, come on, at least raise your hand for my sake. And just because. We all should have or have. Because if you can understand the Bible first time through, there's something wrong with you. You're reading a different Bible. I'm just telling you straight up. If you understand the Bible after 20 times through, you still got stuff you're working on that you just aren't being honest about. Because this is one verse in the Bible that has tripped me up for years. I'm talking years. And I've asked the Lord, I've asked the Holy Spirit, I've asked the Father, I've asked people. I've looked in commentaries, I've done as much research as I could. I've looked everywhere to find out what that means. And everybody skips over it. No commentary deals with it. And I can't find, and the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to me until like just recently. And I thought, how simple was that, that I just didn't see it as clear? Because this is, it's just light that is darkness. It's like, my brain just goes, it shorts out when I hear that. I don't know what to do with it. So I'm asking the Lord, and it hits me so clearly and so simply. It was a while back, but it was really cool. And so I asked the question, how is it that one could believe that you're walking in the light but are actually walking in darkness? Because that's what he says, is that be careful that you do not, it's almost like deceive yourself, that you actually think that your light is, or your the darkness within you is actually light. How is it that one could believe that? It's a question that I want to get to, because I think it has to do with the opaque Christian. No thoughts? Okay, I'll give you mine. It's just simply this. We develop alternative light sources. We've developed an alternative light source. When we develop an alternative light source other than Jesus, and that could go across the board and it could get into a lot of different things. It can get into spirituality. It can get into other religions. But it also can get into self-absorbent stuff, greed, selfishness, my own gifting, my own strength, my own power, my own ability, my own intelligence. When I develop an alternative light source other than Jesus Christ, other than Jesus, that light is an alternative light source. I'll get you. That alternative light source is actual darkness. it becomes absorbent, where the actual light of God is stopped, because it's the light and the glory of God that he's wanting to shine through us as his children, his people, for his glory, not mine, not yours, not a church, not a building, not a name, but it's Jesus is the name that is above every name, not the salt mine, not Eric, not, I could list all your names, and we all fit there. It's the gospel in its truest form, is that it's about Jesus, it's in Jesus. That's why I love this. There's a new song, I'd like you, your worship team, you guys, where's Mike? Where did he go? Oh, yeah. Ah, you scared me. Mike or Noel, I don't care, you guys choose, but I really want you guys to do this, the new song by Crowder. I don't know if it's new, but it's new to me. And it's God Really Loves Us. The simple reason is because he theologically gets it correct. First he says us, and I like that. But he gets it so correct in that God really loves us so much that he gave us Jesus. And it's in Jesus that we find life. And it's in Jesus that we find hope and truth and freedom. That's how much God really loves us. And whenever we forget that or leave that out, we tap into an alternative light source. And that alternative power source, light source, is going to actually be darkness. And then that's why Jesus can propose this question, and the question makes perfect sense, is how deep does that darkness go? In other words, how firmly planted are you in you? How firmly planted are you in something that really is phony? It's not the truth. It's not the way. It's not the life. How firmly planted do you settle in? Do you buck up? Do you kick your heels in and say, no, this is good, even though it has nothing to do with God? And that's how deep the darkness can go. Because the firmer you plant into that, in your sufficiency, your goodness, I was going to say intelligence, but that doesn't go very deep. But my good deeds, my loving heart. My loving heart came nothing from me. I'm going to tell you that straight up. The loving heart that is inside of me comes straight from him. Straight from him, and it only works through me. See, so we are simply not reflections. We are conduits. We are a source for God's light to shine through, to flow through. It's like we're more of a fiber optic cable than anything. If that's probably more theologically correct than anything's. Do you guys understand what those are? Do you realize that? Did you realize that how powerful and effective and what light actually is? You talk on a phone, it's through light. That's such a cool thing. Information, data travels through light. That's bizarre. That's bizarre. It's not this on a piece. Well, even you see this because of light. Everything is the light of God shining through us and on us. I just think it's absolutely astoundingly amazing. It's beyond my, I think this is where like Einstein just like, he just set in that, like what light does. He settled there and just tried to figure that out as much as possible. A brilliant mind trying to track light. It's the coolest thing, I think, on the planet, light. At least to me. I think it's awesome. Anybody else want to add to it? Okay, I'll go on. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Let's go there. And I'll finish up. Well, eventually. Matthew 5:14. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, which is fantastic. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Amen. I think there's just an obvious here that I need to point out. Highlight is that the good works of God, the good works of God that you were created for, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, right, says this. It says, for all, oh gosh, now I'm going to butcher it. Oh my gosh. I know it's in there somewhere. But basically, we are created to do good works. That's verse 10, I believe. You going to pop it up for me, Mike? Okay, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done so that none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so that we can do good things that he has planned for us long ago. What I think the obvious is that Paul said and that Jesus is saying here is that the good works are already inside of you. They're already there inside of you that God has prepared them for you to do. God has created you, designed you, and actually empowered you to be good, to be right, to be true, to be as him. And so it really comes down to this, and that's why Jesus says it this way. He says, no one lights a light and then just covers it up. So when we don't do what God has created us to do and don't operate in where God has called us to operate and don't actually do the loving, serving, good, righteous, true stuff that God's called us to do, we're covering us up. We're actually the ones that is putting a cover over us. Did you see something different, something in here too that I've noticed right away too? Is that the light doesn't go out. What happens to the light? The light doesn't get snuffed out. You ever sing the little song from kids? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan let it out, right? That's impossible. That's wrong too. Why do we sing kids' songs that teach our kids wrong theology? Satan can't blow out your light. Satan cannot blow out your light. He cannot snuff my light out. He cannot snuff your light out. You choose to cover it up. Let's let it shine. That's what Jesus said. Hey, you've been lit. My life is in you. That, you guys know what I meant. You're on fire, right? And you're shining bright. Let it shine bright and let your light shine. Don't cover it up. And that's what he's telling us to do. It comes out in what? As in Ephesians 5, where he says, in right, good, and true. Righteousness, goodness, and truth. You realize that there's been a study that's been shown or proven. I was listening to Jimmy Evans. And Jimmy Evans was talking about a new poll that they've just taken. And this is an interesting thing that is a little scary and a little bit sad and surreal is that 7 out of 10 Christians, born again believing Christians, 7 out of 10, 70% of Christians, people who have professed to accept and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and it's Jesus that is their only saving source. They say this though. They're contradicting themselves because 7 out of 10 say that there is another way to God other than Jesus. Believe that there is another source to God other than Jesus. Now, yeah, that ought to shock us in here. In fact, if it didn't shock you, I'm going to have to like pull you in a corner. Well, I'll take you in the whipping room back there and whip that back into you. No, it maybe that's why we're a small church, because we ground ourselves in the Jesus being the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our only light source. He is our only power source that actually has the ability, the power to do anything that's good. All the good inside of me is because it's Jesus. And we must stand on that. We must stay there, plant there, and grow there. Amen? Because that's where it really happens. That's where it really matters, in Jesus. One last passage, if I didn't carry that all the way through. John 8:12, and I love it. This, I'm just going to finish it up with this. If Noel, if you want to come up, because this is pretty fantastic. Are you leading us out? All right, perfect. Jesus spoke this to the people. Once more, he said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." Hallelujah. Amen. Watchman Nee says this. I think I've shared with you, Watchman Nee is the spiritual man is, Keys to the Spiritual Man is my bedside book. Says this, if the one who came from heaven would not only would not rely on his perfect flesh, I love that. I don't think I've ever thought of it that deep. If the one that came from heaven would not rely on his perfect flesh, but completely relied on the Holy Spirit, how much more ought we, who are very imperfect, should we completely depend on the light of the Holy Spirit? May we die daily to our natural, opaque flesh and allow the light of God's new creation snuff out the darkness of our old self. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love for us. That really just is so gracious and merciful. As my brother Alfonso said it in a prayer this morning, the very breath that we breathe is your breath in us. The very life that we live is your life in us. Anything good we do is your goodness working through us. We come to you. I'm just going to pray a prayer and I'm going to ask you to follow along with me. I come to you this morning and I repent of my sinfulness. The stuff that I hold on to, I repent of. The stuff that I've that has gotten in the way of you shining through me, I humbly come and repent and lay it at your feet and I cast it before you, the lover of my soul, so much so that you cleanse me from that unrighteousness, and your righteousness lives through me and shines in me and through me so that others can see you, Jesus, and you, Jesus, only. And right now, I come to you and I say, my only desire is for those to see Jesus on the other side of me. On the other side of me. And I know I'm going to, for the rest of my life, have stuff I got to deal with. And I'll have stuff that will come up that is in the way of your glory shining through me. And even in that, I'm so thankful for your mercy that's loving me ahead of time. Your grace that looks at me and says, you're not worthy. You're not worthy on your own, but you're worthy because I am in you. Your grace that calls me and calls each and every one of us right where we're at, loves us right where we're at. And you display it constantly and continuously through Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the light. that has snuffed out the darkness inside of me and shines in me and through me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.